Coming up on BYU Football with Kalani Sitake, the Cougars get ready for a senior night send-off under the Saturday Night Lights. It'll be a clash of the Cougars as Houston plays in Provo with postseason possibilities in play. And we're breaking it all down with Kalani and a whole lot of seniors coming up next on the BYU TV app and ESPN+.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is presented by Intermountain Health, official medical provider of BYU Athletics.
Yes, yes indeed. Hello, hello, hello. Hi, everybody. Hello, everyone in the studio, everyone out there in Cougar Nation. Hello and good evening once again. Thanks for joining us. It is our season finale somehow already of BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. We are live and on demand via the BYU TV and BYU Radio apps and, of course, on ESPN+. Coming up on this, our final show of this season, we'll look briefly back at a setback in the Valley of the Sun, highlight some good things from BYU that came out of that game. We'll get the latest college football playoff rankings as well. BYU linebacker Isaiah Glasker will join us inside the film room. Deep Blue will profile our punter Sam Vanderhaar. We'll be joined by, well, a lot of seniors. It is senior night, senior week, and a bunch of them will join us on the program. We'll have Q&A with Kalani and those seniors, BYU football trivia, and as the kids say, a fit check for BYU's regular season finale. All right, let's get tonight's show on the road by welcoming back in the man who has helped fill this room for the last 12 weeks of broadcast. He's, of course, the head coach of your 9-2 BYU Cougars, Kalani Sitake.
Thank you, Hazel.
There we go.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Oh, I love the standing ovation. Thank you, folks.
That was
I love
nice.
That.
Thanks, guys.
And Hazel Haymooley, thank you, our lay girl, Hazel, doing what she does so well. She's fantastic. I like Tuesdays because they get me fired up for the next Saturday.
Let's go. Especially happy Thanksgiving, everybody. This
happy
is
Thanksgiving.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yes, it is holiday week and good vibes here in the studio. And you're looking to bounce back again here. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, obviously not the result we wanted last weekend, but proud of the boys. I thought they fought back from some adversity and in a hostile area, but we had a lot of fans there too that were cheering us on, and it was just came up short. I mean, we've had these nail biters, you know, some of them worked out in our favor, and this one didn't. So, you know, hopefully we get back to the boring wins. That would be nice, you know. But I'm just so proud of the players and proud of our fans, and I thought they represented well. And, you know, this is the fun of being in a conference, especially a power conference like the Big 12. And we're still in a good position. They've earned that right with the first 9 games, and so. We need some things to work out in our favor, but the goals are still there that our players set out for. The seniors that you're going to meet tonight, a lot of them, that's the goal that they set out for. It's still achievable, so we got to keep it rolling.
You called what happened on the weekend a hostile environment. There was some hostility, especially at the end. What a chaotic end of that game we saw.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people excited to, you know, for what they thought was the win. There's still one more second left, and I don't blame them, you know. But it didn't – I don't think any of us felt threatened or anything like that. It was just – not a lot of nice things being said, but eventually they couldn't really go anywhere. What are they going to do? We're standing right next to each other, and I think, we heard some kind things after everybody caught their breath and was able to say, okay, coach. I just heard some really positive things even after it settled down a little bit. There's nothing wrong with fans being passionate about their team. I've been part of some really cool Storming the Fields with Cougar Nation, and that one was obviously not my favorite one, but... But you can't deny that college football is a lot of fun, and we had a shot towards the end, just didn't work out, and we just got to keep getting better and find ways to learn from it. But there's nothing wrong with being proud of the way they played and the way they fought back. I'm really proud of our team.
One thing the college football playoff has done is increase the amount of attention that goes to so many more games now, so much so that you're going to be scoreboard watching on Saturday. You got to take care of business, and that happens Saturday night. But before that and during the evening, there's going to be some things that do have an impact on what's going to happen for BYU.
Yeah, and we can control what we control, which is play the game Saturday the best we can and try to put ourselves in a position to get a victory. That's what we've got to do, and do it for the seniors. So there's a lot to play for. Obviously, some things have to work out in our favor for us to play in the championship game. We know that, but we get to play the game again. What we do know is that we've earned the right to extend the season. Now, how it looks, that'll be decided on Saturday, but we can definitely... I've been a senior and played in Lavelle Edwards Stadium for my last senior game, and that you remember that for the rest of your life. And so I just wanted to make sure these guys have a good experience, and that it's our last time to get all the people in Provo to have some fun. And it's at 8:15, so it makes sense. Why don't we finish it the way that we started it, and let's get this thing rolling. I'm excited about the team and excited about the opportunities, and excited that the fans get to be there and make some noise for us.
You and the boys and all of Cougar Nation, we are Wildcat fans on Saturday. The Kansas State Wildcats and the Arizona Wildcats.
Let's go Wildcats, man. make it happen.
and just before we head to the recap, it is senior week. Caps on senior night here, and you've alluded to the last game feeling you got to experience, and we talk about this every year, and it's a little different nowadays in the portal era. Sometimes the senior isn't a senior, or he might be, and it's a little different, but there's still a lot of similar feelings that come up every time.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we'd love for the seniors that have another year to come back, but it's important that we give them the proper send-off. And play our best. I mean, I don't think we need to be so focused on winning as much as just preparing to play our best, and it all worked out the way it's supposed to. I should go back to when I played, and it was interesting because that was when the first time it was announced that it's Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Mm-hmm. It was my senior game, and I just remember, like I said, you've heard me say this before, I just remember everyone kind of expected that except for Lavelle and Patty, and they were so shocked, and I'm sitting there going, these people are amazing, just great example of humility, and I'm glad that I was able to win my last game at home and have it being named Lavelle Edwards Stadium, and that we opened up Lavelle Edwards Stadium with a win. So let's close 2024 with the same approach, but man, just for me, I get to see that name on the stadium. It just reminds me of Lavelle and his family and how grateful I am for him and BYU football in my life.
I think it was New Mexico in town that day, wasn't it?
Yep, it was. Yeah.
So a red team was in town that day. A red team is in town this time for senior night as well. Before you look ahead to senior night and the Houston game on the weekend, let's revisit briefly BYU's last game this past Saturday in Tempe. BYU visiting Arizona State for the first time in almost 30 years. We're going to review the top player performances in this game presented by Waystar. And we're going to start with the quarterback, Jake Retzlaff. Jake Retzlaff in this game, a career high against an FBS opponent, 2 yards shy of his overall career high, but against an FBS foe, 346 passing yards, a new high for him against FBS. He's now accounted for 30 career touchdowns, 23 passing and 7 rushing. He's now 21st and moving up in the all-time BYU total offense yardage list as well. I thought Jake played well.
Did great. And I mean, there's some plays that he'd love to have back, but just proud of the way he played the game and just the everybody's hurting a little bit right now, and he's no different. But I think for him to perform the way he did, especially the way we didn't start off the right way. I think we obviously came down and we're down 21-0 before you can even think. And then next thing you know, we're trying to mount a comeback, and that's a huge part of his leadership and his belief in the team. And we just got to keep growing. Let's learn a lot from this game that didn't work out in our favor, and try to make sure that we play a lot better this weekend. But that's my job as head coach, to make sure that we come out and we start from the very beginning and don't have to play catch up. I'd like to not dig a hole for ourselves to begin with. So let's get that done, and that's my responsibility as head coach to get them ready.
When the tempo picked up, the offense picked up, and you've been a really great, let's call it 2-minute, but if you're in 2-minute mode, meaning you're hurrying up, you've been really effective all year.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that we've done really well, and let's just do that from the beginning, from the first second all the way to the end, and that's the goal, and that's kind of the challenge that I've given to the offense, and so I'm looking forward to being entertained this weekend.
Let's take a look at an entertaining player from this past Saturday, number 17, Keelan Marion. Keelan in this game had 2 rushing touchdowns. These were his first 2 rushing touchdowns of the season, as it turned out. He also added 36 yards on 6 receptions for the season. Keelan is third in BYU catches and receiving yards. He also has, of course, two kickoff return touchdowns. This is one of his two rushing scores. He also scored on a jet sweep a little later on in the game. We'll see that coming up in a bit. Keelan played an excellent game.
Yeah, it's super smooth. Just the way he sets up his blocks, it works on kickoff return. It works on offense. He's really come along, especially with the wide receiving core, and he's starting to find his place a little bit more. And I know Fessy trusts him, you know, with running the routes and doing a lot of different things, getting the ball a fly sweep, but also catching. And then a lot of things that no one really talks about are the receivers and they're blocking downfield. He's one of the guys that leads the way in that part of the game.
Let's shout out the BYU defense now. Like the offense, maybe a slow start, but they picked up steam as the game went along. And Isaiah Glasker was among the best players on the field for BYU. 12 tackles on the day. He's now second in tackles on the season. Leads BYU in TFLs. 12 and a half tackles for loss on the year. Has multiple sacks, multiple picks, multiple passes broken up, multiple hurries on the year. He's the definition of an impact player.
Oh, yeah. And it's just, I mean, look at his size. I mean, being 6'5 and 235 pounds, and then to be able to run like that, I think everybody remembers him leading the way on Parker's punt return against Kansas State, and just the amount of speed that he has. I mean, he's a big-time player, and we need to just keep finding ways to get him in the backfield. And I mean, we could blitz him, but you don't want to blitz him if he can cover so well. And he can cover receivers, cover tight ends. He's a mismatch on the field in our favor. So defensively, I like the way Jay and Justin and the rest of the staff are using him. So he can do a lot of different things. But I know if you talk to him, he'll give a lot of credit to the rest of the other 10 guys on the field. And it just happens that he's in the position to make a lot of plays, especially this last weekend.
Making plays for a BYU defense that is among the best nationally statistically. Speaking of stats, let's look at some of the key stats from the game on Saturday. They're presented by Smarty. BYU does fall in a heartbreaker in this one. The final score is 28-23. BYU ended up outgaining ASU on the day. You see the big passing day and such a good second half. In fact, the possession time was about minus 10 minutes, but you didn't need the clock a lot in your favor in the second half as you piled up the yards and the points.
Yeah, the hard part was just getting off out of downs and getting off of drives with the defense. ASU was committed to just trying to grind the clock out. And I think we only had four possessions in the second half for offense.
Four in each half, yeah. Eight possession game, basically.
We just got to find ways to get more possessions and defensively get more turnovers and create some havoc so we can get the ball back to our offense. And it wouldn't hurt if our defense could score too, which they've done before. And then the special teams can set it up. So I know I'm wishing for a lot of things right now, but these guys can do it, and I'm just looking forward to them getting better. We had a great practice this week. Last week was a great practice week as well, and I think that should carry over to this game.
You mentioned the number of possessions. In your first eight seasons, you had only one game with eight possessions. Now you've had back-to-back weeks, and that's sometimes the way this thing goes with the new clock rules and teams that want to get to the end.
Yeah, and that's why it has to be really efficient, and you can't really waste downs or possessions, and so you got to take advantage of every one you get, especially when you get in the red zone. You got to find ways to score, I think there's a lot of different ways to speed up the game a little bit, and we can definitely do that in all three phases.
To be fair, a couple of bad bounces took possessions away from BYU too. Yeah. A punt off a helmet one week, and then the squib kick off a guy's leg the next week. So it happens that way sometimes too. On another good day, though, for the BYU defense overall, one player did stand out among all others. You saw him a moment ago. He did so by recording his BYU career high in both solo and total tackles. Two of his stops were tackles for loss. We're talking about, yes, linebacker Isaiah Glasker, who tonight reviews his plays of the game as he joins our Jerem Jordan inside the film room.
All right, Zay, first half, you guys give up 21 points. Then the second half, only 7. What do you guys do differently in the final 30?
Really, it was just about locking in. I feel like we gave up a couple big runs in the beginning of the game, and we just wasn't like assignment sound like we usually are. And then just coming in at halftime with some of our teammates like Batty giving us a speech and stuff kind of just hyped us up a little bit. And then, we just were on top of our assignments again, so.
All right, big fourth and one play, and you make a stop to give the boys a chance here.
Honestly, I knew they were probably going to give it to Scadaboo. That was my, that's just my thought. But seeing the broken play where Scadaboo ran on the wrong side, and then I just kind of just seen the quarterback the whole time, and I just I lost him for a second, and then I just trusted that he was going to be on the edge, and there he was.
All right, after the interception, Arizona State could try and punch it in. They opt to kind of run some clock and run backwards, and you make sure that this is the biggest TFL of your life. Are you surprised at this point how far he's running back, or you understand, hey, they're milking clock?
I knew that because there was only like maybe 50-something seconds on the clock, and I know we had like enough timeouts, but if we get to him pretty quick, then they're going to have to go for it on fourth down. So that's kind of like what was going through my mind at the time. And I kind of knew that he was just going to try to run backwards, so we were just trying to get to him as fast as we could. But
26-yard TFL is going to be hard to beat, right? 26 is a lot of yards. Okay, and then this last play, which was a lot of controversy, obviously, with the field storm and whatnot. But once they throw it in the air, were you guys expecting a pass, but maybe more of a scramble? Because it felt like you guys rushed him to throw it earlier, because then you get a second for the offense.
Honestly, I just thought he was going to do the same exact thing that he did the play before, where he just ran straight back just because there was only 7 seconds. But as soon as he did throw the ball, I was like, oh, yeah, we're going to have a chance for sure. And, like, no way, it was that play took 7 seconds when he just dropped back and passed the ball. So I just assumed that, oh, we're going to get the ball back right here. So
you and several of your teammates kind of stuck up fingers like, no, we've got time here. Okay, obviously this week you're scoreboard watching and you need to win. Emotionally, what's that like as you try and dial in on your game, yet you need some help here?
Honestly, we're just focused on just winning the game right now, just Houston overall, just because Houston's, they're still a good team, and they beat Utah and like some of these other schools. So we can't really overlook Houston. Like, if we beat Houston, it's going to be, now we can look at the other teams that we got to play, or hopefully that are playing to help us. So
okay, well, good luck this week, and we're hoping for the best.
Yeah, appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, thankfully, on this senior week, he's not one of the guys we're talking about.
Yeah, he's still young. He's got a lot of games to play still, but just really thankful that Zay's got a great attitude. He's great leadership and just a pleasant young man to coach, and you can tell that he's definitely not happy with the loss, but he's committed to trying to get better and finding. I've just seen him improve every week, and this week should be no different for him.
All right, coming up next for BYU, it is the Houston Cougars. Clash of the Cougars this week. BYU 3-0 all time against UH. BYU essentially needing a win and some help to get to the Big 12 championship game. You see Houston's record there. But among their three wins in Big 12 play, a couple of really nice ones. They beat TCU, beat Kansas State memorably. They've not beat BYU, as you see there. And their offensive numbers are really lagging. You see just a handful of the stats right there. They made a change today with one game to play. They got rid of their OC. They're going to elevate the quarterback's coach, is also the pass game coordinator, to be the play caller. So you might see some different looks or calls or personnel this weekend. You don't know. But what an interesting decision to do that on your before your final game.
Yeah, I think Coach Willie Fritz is a really good coach. I think he's trying to get ahead of trying to get a hire done early so that when they get to the transfer portal, things like that, they can start building their program. And so the difficulty for us is we don't know exactly what they're going to do on offense, but that's okay. We just got to figure it out. You know, that they're going to either run the ball, throw the ball. And that's really the two choices. So we got to be able to stop both of them. And occasionally they'll probably have a couple trick plays. They have nothing to lose here.
Right.
And so we've got to be aggressive and try to find ways to stop them. And then offensively, we've got to put points on the board. I just want to see our offense just kind of flourish and do what we did in the second half, which is be efficient with the plays, make big plays. And, we're challenging them to really step up and make this happen. We have to create some momentum from the second half of last game to this week.
That is our first segment of this week's show. We'll take a break, and as we break, we remind you to go to BYU Sports Nation for your Cougar Sports day-to-day play-by-play. Join Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan for the show, noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, Deep Blue will profile the punter from down under, Australian Sam Vanderhaar. This is our BYU Football with Kalani Sitake season finale. Back with more after this.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics, Waystar, and Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU Athletics, in partnership with the San Bernardino International Airport.
Welcome back to BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Time now for our weekly Deep Blue Profile. Sam Vanderhaar's journey to BYU started with dreams in Aussie rules football that transformed into aspirations of an education in the U.S. and a career in American football. Sam found out his dreams required, of course, hard work and sacrifice, but his wife and mother were ready to bet everything on him. Now the bets are paying off, some 8,500 miles away from home with his new life here in Provo, Utah. This is Deep Blue with BYU punter Sam Vanderhaar.
I grew up in Melbourne, Australia.
So he grew up playing Aussie rules football.
It's essentially just a mix of European handball, basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything.
Anything goes. Like, there's no rules.
They used to call him the dozer because he used to just barrel on through and send everyone flying.
He went to a sort of step under AFL, which is like the top sort of league, and had intentions that, like, in his young age, it's all he wanted to do. He just wanted to play AFL. That was his dream and goal and aspiration.
Sam and I met. He was vacationing in San Diego, and I was living there at the time.
I think I was always intrigued by solo backpacking. It's very much part of the culture back home to go to Europe. And so I didn't want to do that, but I still wanted to travel. So that's kind of what prompted me to go backpacking around the US and Central America.
I was on a hike and we had run into each other. He came up to me and started talking to me. And obviously his accent was a point of conversation. That's where it started.
Prior going to traveling, Aussie rules was all I really cared about. And for me, if I don't do that, then I'm not really worth anything. That was kind of my identity. Once I went traveling and saw that there's so much more, it just added a new foundation into my life, which was really nice.
We were living in Sydney. We had both just been laid off our jobs because COVID had just hit. So we were kind of sitting there, maybe a bit anxious.
I worked out pretty quick that if I wanted to try and do what I wanted to do from a financial perspective in terms of, you know, trying to, you know, make a nice living for our family, I thought a degree would give me the best chance for that. So we made that decision pretty quickly.
That's when he was on Facebook and he saw someone he used to play with, and they had posted that they were over here in America playing college football, and they thanked Johnny and Chappie for Pro Kick Australia. And we were like, all right, who's Johnny and Chappie? And so we did a little research and found Pro Kick.
I'm Nathan Chapman, the owner, head coach of Pro Kick Australia, and basically I teach young men how to kick a football and send them to college in America.
We really see ourselves as an academic institution. We just get that opportunity because we can kick a football.
I sent an email to John A. Smith and Nathan Chapman, and they quickly got back to me and said, yeah, we'd love to have you come and try out. And then I did more research, which I should have done before emailing them, and found out that it was, you know, quite expensive. And so I was like, all right, like, the very ignorant and naive part of me was like, oh, well, I don't need Pro Kick. I'll just try and do it on my own, and quickly found out that that wasn't really going to happen.
I've watched that boy from a little tiny thing to a man kick and run and pass and do all these things, and I knew he had it in him and I knew he could do it and do it well. So, yeah, I didn't hesitate. And I said to him that, go for it. If this gives you the opportunity to do what it is that you want to do and achieve what you want to achieve, absolutely, I'll financially support you.
It kind of changed my incentive again, because I pretty much gave myself no option but to make it work, just because I wasn't gonna, I guess, waste her belief into me and just not give it everything. To prep for the tryout, I went to a sports shop. I bought what I thought was an NFL ball, but it was a composite ball that was about this big.
And there were quite a few things we didn't know in terms of, like, the 15-yard snapping and the hang time aspect. So we were like, you're a great punter already. Well, he showed up and it was raining and the wind was wild.
They threw me a ball and I was like, what is this? Like, I quickly realized, oh no, like, this is harder than what I thought.
So he got back to the car and it's immediately waterworks. Like, he was really upset. You know, there's a really high pressure and so much riding on it.
It was a pretty somber ride home. We didn't really speak a whole lot, and I was very emotional, more emotional than I probably ever let on about it, so.
But trying to stay optimistic of we don't know what they thought and we don't know what's going to happen. But at the end of the day, it's hard to think that way when it goes so poorly in your eyes.
Hi, Sam. It was great to assess you today and have a frank discussion. Please take this email as our invitation for you to join the ProKick Australia full-time program. Again, the process over the coming months requires a great deal of hard work from all of us to achieve the prize of a full college scholarship, but this can and will be achieved.
He can really kick a football. He was strong, he could kick right foot, he could kick left foot. We knew we had a talent, or we'll call him a product, to be able to work with, and was just making sure that, again, he spent the time understanding the game, the different football. He needed to know what he needed to do in a game so that he could succeed.
He was 110% committed. He would be punting from 9 to 5. Like, it was his full-time job. Like, he did everything it took.
I was on the way to work. It was 8:30 in the morning. It was bumper-to-bumper traffic. Johnny always puts out, like, a call sign when someone gets a scholarship. And so I had liked it on Instagram. And then within, like, 10 seconds, he called me. And he was like, I noticed you liked this post on my Instagram. And I was like, yeah, like, congratulations. Like, that's so good. You got someone else a scholarship. And he was like, nah, actually, that scholarship's yours. You're going to Pitt in January. I couldn't drive. I was like, I need to pull over. And, you know, I cried a little bit just because I was just like, wow, it's finally happening. But then it quickly changed to, all right, I got a job to do.
So we were in Pittsburgh for 18 months. We played one season at Pitt, and we had great experiences, great teammates, a lot of fun. But we decided that wasn't the place for us for the long run. So Sam entered the transfer portal, and that was the beginning of our new beginning.
Once I'd spoken to BYU and did my research and saw all the aspects of the university and the unique aspects, particularly to do with the church and you know, things like the honor code and the way that they operate as an institution was something that I was really drawn to.
It was awesome to see them on their recruiting trip come here and see, man, we can really fit here. There's all these other married people too as well. And coming from Pitt, where he was at before, you know, they were the only married couple there.
I think BYU will be a phenomenal place for he and his wife, but I also think that he's good for us because he brings an outsider's perspective from, you know, a foreigner coming from a different country.
I thought it was going to be, like, a good fit, but I couldn't have never imagined that it was going to be as, like, special as it's been.
He's performing better, and that's a direct reflection on where he is and the support team around him and Papringa and Kalani.
Friends he's made are amazing. All these kids are just wonderful. As a mum, I know they're happy. So even though they're on the other side of the world, I sleep easy at night.
It's not a coincidence that I've ended up here. That's, I guess, the way I look at it. And I think just the way that I get along with the coaches and the guys on the team and the success that I plan to have here, I think that in a weird way, I was always meant to end up here.
I definitely want to tell him how proud I am of him, of everything he's overcome. I mean, not only moving to a new country, starting, you know, a marriage, but also absolutely doing wonderfully in school and football. So it's really impressive. You know, a lot of people couldn't even imagine what he's taking on.
Never, ever, ever give up on your dream. And if that dream is not working on that pathway, then choose another pathway so you can achieve that dream. And when you get pushed down and people give up on you, dust yourself off. Get up. And keep going.
I love you. I'm so proud of you.
How great to have him as part of the BYU football program.
Oh, yeah, just special place in my heart for that young man, you know, and it just seems like he and his wife were meant to be here in Provo, in this community. They're drawn to BYU for the right reasons, and, you know, he's an answer to our prayers. I'm glad that Kelly Papinga found him and that they found each other and that they found this place. So this is... they're a perfect fit for us, and hope our fans get to know him. I mean, they know him a little bit better now, but he's done an amazing job. He just works all the time, and I wish they wouldn't have mentioned that he can kick left footed too, but we haven't put that out there yet. So, dang it! But he's extremely. I mean, he's never snapped a ball before between his legs, and we did that fake, and he just worked on it over and over. It looked really ugly when we first did it, but he made it work because he's just a hard worker. That's just what he does.
We had him on a post-game interview after one of the games on the headset at field level, and he said he never expected that he'd have a spiritual experience trying to have a football experience, but he said that's where he's at right now.
Yeah, and you see his connection to God and to, you know, to basically being involved with the spirituality. I mean, this is a place where you can work on so many different things, and that's one positive thing that we saw from him and his wife being here. It just makes a lot of sense.
Great to have Sam here, and it's become an annual Sitake Show tradition. During the week of senior night, we let the upperclassmen kind of take the show over a little bit. Tonight we have a number of seniors, and we're going to divide the crew into the offense and the defense and give them each a segment tonight on our season finale. We'll start on the offensive side of the ball. We're going to bring out for you now Connor Pay, Sam Daw, Caleb Etienne, and Mataba Tase. Hi, Caleb. Good to see you again. Thank you for being here. What's up, Sam? How are you? Good to see you. Good to see you, Tava. All right. Some of these guys are back. Some have been with us already.
Yeah.
But Sam, you're a newcomer for the show?
First time.
Good to have you here.
Appreciate it.
All right. We brought in some big guys.
We did.
Today.
Yeah. The tree takes the smallest seat, of course. And
we were told where to sit. We didn't have a choice.
All right, let's pass the mic, as they say, and do the intros. Give us your name, where you're from, and we'll start with that.
Yeah, Connor Pay from Highland, Utah.
Caleb Etienne from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Sam Daw from Spanish Fork, Utah.
Mataba Tase from Mesa, Arizona.
Right on. Guys, thank you very much. I want to start with Sam because he's not the first Da to play for BYU. Give us the family tree and tell us who preceded you in this role.
So I'm the third Da to come through here of four. We had Parker Da first, which was with Bronco, and then Kalani in his first year. They come from Parker and Zach. They both come from the Ian Da family, but I come from the Andy Da family. Andy and Becky Da, they're up there in the crowd today. Happy to have them here. And then Wyatt as well came from Ian Da.
And tell us who Wyatt is and what he's going to be doing.
Wyatt, he was on the D line. He's no longer with us.
Okay. He's not with the team anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. Zach, as I recall, Zach, we talk about Houston. The Houston game in 2020 down in Houston, yeah. I think Zach was, that was one of his best games, as I recall. Do you remember that?
I was on my mission then, so I wasn't watching it.
Supposed to remember
I was being worthy as a missionary.
To watch it.
Zach was a big timer that day.
Yeah, I mean, we love the Daw family. They're all wrestlers, and they all know leverage, and they can all play football. They love the physical part of the game.
Awesome. Sam, good to have you here. Tava, you're representing the tight end room tonight, and you're back on the show. Thanks for being here, by the way.
Appreciate you.
Okay, your thoughts on being on a part of a 9-2 team with still some dreams to meet this weekend?
Yeah, it's a dream come true, but this is exactly what we expected where we'd be, and just grateful to be a part of this team with all these seniors and everybody else. So.
Okay, Connor, let's bring it over to you. And this has not been maybe the season you predicted you would have. How do you kind of describe your last year at BYU?
Well, it's not the season you guys thought we would have.
No, I mean, I'm talking about in terms of being out for games, not being able to play every game.
Yeah, no, it was. I'd never been injured before in my whole career here, so that was a new experience for me, you know, and it was heartbreaking in a lot of ways to have to watch from the sidelines. You know, I'd never, you know, that was new for me. And, you know, but thankfully the guys did a really good job. And, you know, we have really good doctors and training staff and sports science. They're able to get me back ahead of schedule. And, you know, I'm feeling great now.
So. You're feeling good?
Yeah, very.
Caleb, you guys have had to use your depth in the offensive line this year. It's been tough week to week to keep the same crew out there, but you've been out there pretty much every snap at left tackle. You've been blessed with great health this year. Maybe you could speak to the depth in that room and how many different guys have had to step up.
I mean, yeah, like we have a lot of guys, young guys, you know, that's very talented and, you know, that's been learning, you know, all summer and just the playbook and just technique and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, for them guys to, you know, just step up and, you know, just take that role and, you know, keep doing, you know, what they're doing. It's been good to see. And, you know, they're just only getting better and going to be, you know, even better to watch next year, you know, years to come. So it's been a pleasure to play with them guys. And I'm just happy, you know, to be a part of them, part of this whole line.
Kalani, as you look at this group of four, could you maybe share us a few thoughts about each one of these guys, what they've meant to you?
Yeah, they're great, great leaders. And I think that everybody's relished their role. We knew that we would have something special going into this year. I thought we had some great leaders last year that ushered us into the Big 12. These guys have taken it to another level when with the challenge of a lot of people doubted us, and the senior leadership took over. I mean, they just took over the team, and they helped lead everybody, including myself. So these guys have all done it. And Connor's a little rough on himself because he got hurt, but you guys saw the tire marks on the grass as he rolled up there acting as a coach. And, you know, everybody started calling him Coach Pay because he was involved. But you look at the leadership that's happened. They have a great coach in TJ Woods, but these guys have done a great job teaching the rest of the offensive line how to work. And that comes from Sam and Connor and Braden, who's not here, and Caleb getting that O-line ready. But you've seen the leadership and senior leadership that we have in our tight end group. And, I mean, this is going to be a really talented team, not just for this year, but obviously next year. I feel really good about it, and that's because these guys have done a great job leading. And then leading when nobody expects you guys to be anything. And this is, obviously, we're not happy with the last two games, but we've earned the right to be in position right now where good things can still happen for us, and that's because these guys are taking the initiative as leaders.
Caleb, we can start with you, and then we'll go Connor, and then Tava and Sam. On this week of senior night, what you're going to take out of your BYU career with you as you move forward?
Just all the memories and, you know, just all the, you know, relationships I build and, you know, just having fun, you know, like, you know, we preached this beginning of before the week, you know, we had a meeting, you know, just have fun and just go out there and play, you know, for the guys, you know, next to you. You know, you only get this one more time, you know, in that stadium. So, you know, just enjoy it, have fun, and just go out there and just ball out.
Connor.
Yeah, no, similar thoughts. You know, like, it's why not make your last time walking off that field a good feeling after playing a great game? You know, so there's no reason to leave, you know, any stone unturned. And, you know, obviously, you know, it's emotional, too. But I legitimately thought last year was the last time that I'd be on that field. So it was like I kind of been through that emotional process already. So I kind of know what to expect now. But, you know, I'll just forever be grateful for BYU. You know, I wouldn't exist, you know, if it wasn't for BYU and my parents meeting here. And, you know, my dad and my mom both getting their degrees from here, which set up my family to be successful and give me and my brothers a chance to be on the team. Like, I personally owe a lot to BYU, and so it's been an honor to wear that Y on my chest for the last 4.5 years.
And you have a brother on the team currently, and more where that came from as well, which is awesome. Tava.
Yeah, I think similarly to these guys, not far off, same thoughts. Just grateful to be at this university with the group of men around here. It's one of a kind. You don't get this anywhere else in the country to have a group of men with the coaches and the players and the support staff, all of them with the same goal and the same thoughts and beliefs. It's certainly a dream come true that I didn't know that would be in my life. So I'm grateful for that. And then this last time to play in, you know, this amazing stadium with the great people that the fans that come, it'll just be a great last time there, and just excited to go out one more time with my brothers and to just ball out and have fun. So just very grateful. So
thank you, Sam Daw.
Being able to, you know, take those moments and see everything that I've gotten, I can honestly say my career at BYU hasn't been everything I thought it would be, but it's everything God knew I needed in my life. I've been able to have great mentors, great brothers, coaches, friends. I've been able to learn. I've been able to get a great education, have a good mentor network, and the greatest thing, she's sitting in the stand over there, my fiance, you know. So it's, I can't be mad about BYU and everything I've gotten. Everything I had is just blessings on blessings for me.
Thank you guys for coming and sharing your thoughts on this senior week. We appreciate you. Thanks, guys. Stick around. Don't run away on us. We'll come up with more seniors on BYU Football and Kalani Sitake. Stay with us. It is BYU football with Kalani Sitake. It is our season finale and senior night edition, with the senior night coming up on Saturday. Last segment, we chatted with some offensive side seniors. Now we switch to defense. The guys from the offense, they've simply shifted to our floor seats, so they haven't run away on us. They're still with us. We may yet hear more from them. But now let's introduce you to the BYU seniors we have with us from the defensive side of the ball. Logan Lutui, Isaiah Banya, and Tyler Batty. First up, let's pass the mic to Logan and have him explain why he can't really talk right now.
Sorry, I'm over. I lost my voice at the game on Saturday.
Happens to me too sometimes, yeah, actually.
Sharing nice words to the Arizona State fans.
We're glad you made it out anyway to help do what you can with that mic assisting us. Let's just keep it with Logan. We'll test your voice a little bit. Did senior night arrive pretty quickly for you?
Yes, it did. Yeah, I wasn't expecting it to come this fast, but this season has flew by way faster than I thought it would. So, yeah.
Isaiah, you didn't start your career at BYU, but you get to finish it here. Your senior night thoughts with this coming up on Saturday?
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, it came so fast. Like, I'm sure the same for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was crazy because, you know, at the start of season, honestly, before season, start of off season, you know, you get this mindset and this mentality of, you know, all right, we're on, you know, we have a plan, you know, journey that we're going to be on, and then you're so focused, at, like, week by week, and then, you know, you just end up here. You know what I'm saying? And, like, this is my sixth college football season, you know? And so, man, it's crazy whether I like it or not. You know, this is it, you know? And so it's bittersweet, man, but at the same time, you know, I'm glad that I get the opportunity to finish off with these guys, man. You know what I'm saying? These are my brothers, and I'm beyond blessed to have created these relationships, these bonds, you know, I'll have for the rest of my life.
We're glad you came down from Boise State. Tyler Batty, take the mic. I still remember calling games your freshman year and just thinking, oh, my gosh, BYU gets 4 years of this guy. This is going to be awesome. From the very start, you were such an impact player. It's been a real privilege and a pleasure watching you play, and somehow it's all going to be over here on Saturday, at least in terms of home games.
Yeah, thank you. It has been a journey. I think Isaiah was your sophomore year, something like that, or redshirt sophomore year. No, be one of the oldest guys on the team. It's fun to razz guys who are younger than me that have been in college football longer than me. But no, it's been a journey, and I'm also, just like the rest of the guys have said tonight, super grateful for my time here at BYU. Super grateful for the opportunity that Coach Kalani gave me to come play here. Can't say enough good things about my time here.
We get defensive players. We get defensive ends on the show tonight. Yeah.
And these guys have done an amazing job. Like I said about the offensive guys, these are the leaders. And nobody cares more than the seniors. And so the senior class done an amazing job leading these guys. The defensive have – look at the difference that we've made from last year to this year. I've seen such a huge improvement in just the way that they – connect with each other and how much they love each other. So they're playing like it, and it's just crazy that it's come to an end here at home. But we've earned the right to play more games. This is going to be really cool. That you know how many more and where and when is going to be interesting. But I love the fact that we've extended the season. We get to spend more time together, and I get to hang out with these guys more.
That's where I wanted to go. We'll start with you, Tyler. Come this way, but senior night is one ending, but it's not the end. You get at least two more games to play, and maybe more if things break the right way. Just maybe the team's mindset, having taken a tough loss this past weekend, but knowing it's not the end, and if the cards fall right, you might even have three or more games to play.
Yeah, we're really excited. To say it simply. We want to spend as much time together playing football as we can and spending as many games together as possible. And so having a guaranteed two-game stretch to go, we're going to make the most of it.
Isaiah.
Yeah, pretty much like what Batty just said, man. You know, you want to be where your feet are and, you know, really soak for what it is, you know. And so, yeah, man, every opportunity that I get, well, that we get from here on out, you know, you just want to live in the moment and truly just be grateful for every chance you get, you know.
And Logan, on this Thanksgiving week, how grateful are you for at least two more games, including a special one on Saturday?
I'm very grateful. Being able to play for a great coach like Coach Kalani and this program and the success we've been having this season, another time, another chance to take the field with, you know, my brothers right here and those who aren't here, it's an opportunity that is very limited. So, like they said, and like how the offensive players have been saying, it's we just try not to take any of this for granted and just be grateful and enjoy it.
Thankful for you and the guys, and thanks for gutting it out tonight, by the way, with the voice. I appreciate that. Coming up next, we'll have some Q&A with Kalani and the seniors when BYU football with Kalani Sitake continues. Stay with us.
BYU football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics. Smarty, address data wizards. And Ken Garf, we hear you.
Welcome back. Welcome back to BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. It's time for our studio audience weekly Q&A segment presented by Ken Garf. We hear you. Usually we have the mic on the floor with the guests on the floor tonight. We're going to put the mic into the stands, and producer Hema has got the wireless mic floating through the studio audience, and audience members can now ask questions of Kalani or our guys here on the floor, the seniors. Who's got the mic? Who's first up? Here we go. Go ahead.
What is stand up if you're from Sunset? Sunset 12.
Well, let's go. Kalani, you're standing up.
Yep, I stood up. Back in my day, there was one ward in the whole county. That was a Polynesian ward, and now there's three stakes. So the growth is awesome. A lot of good possible prospects for us, too.
You and Logan are veterans?
We are veterans, yeah.
I love it. Thanks. Where's the mic? It's in the back. Who do we have? It's heading down, down, down. Who's your question for?
Hey, this is Troy Beagley.
Hey, Troy.
Other than, this is for everybody, all you guys, other than that very passionate testimony that Batty gave at halftime, what are you guys going to take from the loss last week to implement better this week?
Okay, we'll throw it to our guys. Connor, you got the mic in your hand.
Awesome. You know, I think, obviously, especially on offense, and I guess I think defense too, we have to start the game faster. You know, we have to come out the way we did in the second half at the start of the game. And, you know, I think there's probably a lot of reasons you could put on maybe why that happened, but at the end of the day, we just got to do it. We know we're capable of doing it, and, you know, I think we played a little bit outside of ourselves in that first half, and then we were able to right the ship a little bit, but we have to come out with that same mindset from the opening kick against Houston and not take so long to get going.
Same topic, final word for you, Tyler Batty, on that.
I think at the end of the day, it just comes down to doing our job, doing our assignments, playing 111 football, and like Connor mentioned, doing it with the right effort and energy and mindset.
Thanks, Tyler. And thank you guys for handling those questions. As we go to break, it is time for trivia. Here is this week's trivia question presented by Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU Athletics. In BYU's 47-46 win at Houston back in 2013, Taysom Hill did something that only 11 other FBS quarterbacks have ever done in a single game. What was it? I like this question so much, I took it from my radio postgame show and brought it back to the TV show. That's the question. The answer's coming up next. Stay with us. More BYU football with Kalani Sitake next. Welcome back to BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Here again tonight's trivia question presented by Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU Athletics. So we're talking about Houston, of course, obvious reason. Back in 2013, Taysom Hill did something only 11 other FBS quarterbacks have ever done in that wild win at Houston. What was it? And the answer here was rush for 100-plus yards and pass for 400-plus yards. You look at his numbers there. He was one big bruise after that game. It was intense. Intense, that one. That was wild. Fantastic. All right, let's get to our broadcast schedule for Saturday. BYU and Houston, it'll be a 6 o'clock Mountain Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Time pregame on both BYU TV and BYU Radio, the game on ESPN and BYU Radio, and then stick with us late into the night, early into the next morning for all the postgame coverage. And what will BYU be wearing? Well, for the first time since the SMU game, we're going navy in this one. It'll be white and navy for BYU against Houston. We have 30 seconds left. Kalani, it is senior night. It is a big night in terms of win and get in type mentality. Your thoughts in 15 seconds.
Yeah, let's go have some fun. I think the guys said it already, that let's start fast. I think the energy from the fans will help, and let's just go have a lot of fun. This is the last time in LES, and let's make it work.
Let's have fun. Kalani, thank you. Guys, thank you. Cougar Nation, thank you. Have a great week.